I don't know, not necessarily in that order, I'm not sure, but Brother Scotty, you come on.
All right. Yeah, every now and then, Brother Matt and I really, we get serious and we start talking about our basketball team in Kentucky. I'm a little old country boy from Kentucky, but once you go to Kentucky and you leave Kentucky, you're always a Kentucky basketball fan, aren't you, Brother Matt? Always. And boy, it's so good to be here. The singing's been great. God bless each and every one of you for this. The choir, you did a great job. The singers and the Roberts always do a great job. Don't they do good? And love to hear them. Brother Cruz, God bless you for the song. We appreciate it. I appreciate Brother Carter inviting me to come and preach. I just appreciate the fact I've known him for, over 45 years. And I couldn't help, I was sitting there thinking, I guess one of the most one of the greatest times that we ever had together was we went to Israel. It was in the early 70s. Miss Sonia and he and Barbara and I, several of us went to Israel together. I'll never forget it. We were on the Sea of Galilee. And while we were on the Sea of Galilee, I had become well acquainted with my guide. My guide was a national hero. He had the newspaper, the Jerusalem Post, in his hand, showed it to me, and he was on the front page where he was the first paratrooper to land behind the Egyptian troops in the Six-Day War, and that made him a national hero. And we became good friends. And so while we were on the Sea of Galilee, Brother Mickey was preaching the gospel. While he was preaching the gospel, I sat down with Zev, and we was able to lead him to Christ. We became good friends, great friends. And he called me a few months ago, and he said, Brother Scotty, he said, I want you to know, he said, I believe just exactly like you believe. And then later on, he called me a few days later, and he says, I've got liver cancer. And he passed away a few months ago, but praise God, we know he's in heaven today. If you will, please take your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Chapter number 6. Good to see my boy come in a while ago. Aaron, God bless you, buddy. Barbara, you didn't even know he was here. All right. And good to have Pixie and your friend here, friends of ours. God bless you. It's good to be here and see you. And we just praise the Lord for being here. As I stand here, I remember I've had several people walk up to me and say, you're preaching today, aren't you? I said, yes. They said, all right, we really want you to get up there. We really want you to really, really preach. And I couldn't help but remember one time we was on vacation. I think Aaron, Barbara, all of you were with us together, and we were on vacation, several people from the church, and on Wednesday night, I believe it was a Wednesday night, we was up in North Carolina, and we was on vacation, we went into a little country church, and we went in, and there was quite a few people there, a little church, it wasn't very big, wasn't nothing, anything like this, and the preacher got up and he preached, and when he got through, I walked out the door, and I was thinking, you know, that was almost a waste of my time. I mean, really, I don't even know what he preached about. And I'm just thinking this in my own head. And so anyway, the fellow with us, he had a dry sense of humor. I'll never forget, he looked at me and he says, you know, he said, I used to wish I could preach. Now I wished he could preach. And I stand up here and everybody, I'm thinking to myself, boy, oh boy, you get up there and preach, Brother Scotty, get up there and preach. I'm thinking, oh me, I hope people don't walk out and say, good night. I used to wish I could preach, now I wish Scotty could preach. If you will, please take your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, verse number 25. Verse number 25, we'll read through 24. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You know, we as Christians, we're in good hands. We're in the hand of God. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. And he said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more better than they? You see what that's saying right there? It said, God's saying, I'm taking care of these fowls of the air. I'm taking care of the animals that walk on the earth. He said, if I take care of them, feed them, don't you think I'm going to take care of you? You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. If you're a Christian and you're a tithing Christian and you're serving the Lord, friend, I want you to know He'll take care of you. You're not going to have to beg for welfare or anything else. I believe a tithing Christian brother don't have to beg for anything. God gives. Now then, he says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubic unto your stature? What he's saying here is, he says, you're 5'10". Why worry about becoming 6 foot? He said, you're worrying about it's not going to make you 6 foot. That's what he's basically saying here. He said, don't you worry. And then why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Boy, I'll tell you what, to make clothes, we have to toil and spin. Our people do, don't they? And he goes ahead and he says, the lilies don't have to. He says, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon, who was the richest man in the world at that time, in all of his glory, or in Solomon's day, he said, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God says, hey, I'll put clothes on that lily, and I want you to know it's a beautiful, I'll give it a beautiful outfit that not even you or Solomon or anyone else can duplicate. And he does take care of us. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall be not much more clothe you, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Listen, the Lord says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of everything you need. You don't have to worry about a thing. Now, that's in Matthew. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 27, verse number 1, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I couldn't help but just think, as we read the paper not long ago, couldn't help but think of the truck, a big truck that went and ran a stop sign with a young man driving, ran into a van, and out of that accident, there were 5 people killed. I'm sure they did not leave their house that morning knowing that they were going to be leaving this earth that quick. I'm sure of it. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In Matthew chapter 42, We find the words in Matthew 24:44. He says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. I can remember as a young man, my mother telling me, boy, your life, he said, the older you get, the faster it goes. Well, you know, I didn't know what she was talking about. I thought to myself, I'll never even get old enough to get a driver's license. And here she is talking about how fast, you know, and I was thinking to myself, I look back and I see Aaron back there. Aaron, you're 52 years old now. Good night. It seems like yesterday he was a kid. Seems like yesterday he was running around getting into all kind of mischief, worrying me to death. See that gray hair? He's to blame. No, but boy, I praise God for my kids. I really do. And we love them. But you know something? Mother used to say that. Now, you know what? I stand up here today and I look back at my life and I think, you know, Ma was right. My life is like a vapor. I mean, it seems like yesterday he was a kid. It seems like yesterday that I was a kid. But you old folks know what I'm talking about. I mean, life goes fast, doesn't it? I mean, you go to bed and man, you're up tomorrow, and then pretty soon it's time to go to bed, you're up again. Boy, I mean, it's just going faster and faster and faster. Boy, I thank God. As I stand here, I can hear old Tom Malone. When I was a young man, he'd get behind the pulpit and he said, boy, praise God, I'm here. He said, in fact, praise God, I'm anywhere at my age. Boy, I know what he's talking about. In Matthew chapter number 42, the Bible also talks about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by way of introduction, I want to do some things real quick. I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah. We're going to read a few scriptures this morning. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah. Then I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go to the book let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah is the next to the last book of the Old Testament. And I want to do something this morning by way of introduction. I want to show to you some things in the Bible that proves to you that this book that we're reading out of is God's holy word. It's the word of God. And I want you to see that. By way of introduction, let's look at that. Then you can also go to and put your fingers, if you will, into the book of 1 Thessalonians. But let's start out in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 7. In chapter number 7, the book of Isaiah, it tells us in verse number 14. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." My goodness sakes alive, here's a prophet in the Old Testament telling us that a virgin's going to have a son. Some 700 years later, we find out in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1 and verse number 18. Look at that, if you will. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18. And we see these words. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused, engaged to Joseph, before they came together." You see, what's happening here is Matthew is confirming the fact that Mary is a virgin. Now, if you have a Bible saying that a young woman, you got a wrong book. That come out of a corrupt text called the Alexandria. If you've got that kind of Bible, you need to go get a King James Bible. You see, let me show you something. There's a difference between a virgin and a young woman. Did you know a young woman, there's a lot of young women that are not virgins. But this virgin was a young woman, and she was a virgin. She was a virgin according to the word of God. And so the Bible tells us. Then if you go into the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, go look and see what it says about Luke. In Luke chapter number 1, verse number 27, we find out here in verse 26, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin." And here we find out in the Old Testament, there was a prophet 700 years before that said, the Messiah that you're looking for is going to be born of a virgin. You believe the word of God? You better believe we believe it. We believe the Old Testament. We believe the New Testament. We believe this here is the preserved word of God. It's the inspired word of God. Your King James Bible is the inspired, preserved word of God given to us in English. And we praise God for it. And it came out of what we call the Textus Receptus, or the received text, which was not the corrupt text of the Alexandria. I mean, you take the corrupt text of the Alexandria. I had somebody tell me his preacher was preaching out of an NIV. So I sent him some material. I sent him a book. He goes and he takes it to his preacher and he says, "What about this?" The preacher says, "Oh, they found new manuscripts since then. They found some manuscripts that had been watered up and thrown in a trash can, and they found them several hundred years later." Now, can you believe that? Anybody that doesn't take their trash can and throw the trash out at least once, Barbara, we do it how much? I mean, she can't stand to have any trash around. She throws it out, don't you? And yet they go around and people believe that nonsense. Folks, let me tell you, this is the word of God. The Bible says, "To a virgin espoused," that means engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. My, my. Does that surprise you that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin when it was predicted 700 years ago? This is the Word of God. It's the Bible. Boy, we must hurry. I want you to know he also prophesies his death. If you'll go to Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah chapter number 53, we find out here that the prophet, he prophesies the death of Christ in Isaiah 53. In Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 1, 53 verse number 1, who hath believed our report? Now here's what's happening. God is telling Isaiah, Isaiah, I want you to go out here and here's what I want you to preach. Isaiah says, if I go out and preach that, who in the world's going to believe it? I mean, this is to the Jews. The Jews are looking for a king. Am I right? They're looking for a king that'll set up a kingdom, and the covenant given to Abraham where he'll inherit the earth, and the covenant that was given by David, David, that one day, brother, he'll sit on the throne of his father David, the Bible says, and he will rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So they're looking for a king. So God tells Isaiah, he says, here's what I want you to tell the people. He said, you tell them this. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. Whoa. Talking about a king, no form or comeliness. Did you know when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, they say every joint in his body was out of joint. Every bone in his body was out of joint. He had no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There's no beauty because he was a black man. According to the book of Psalms, he had turned black from the bruises and the beating that they had given to him. I mean, they had taken a crown of thorns and smashed it down on his head. They had taken a whip and beaten him. They had spit on him. They had pulled his beard out. They had beaten him everywhere he went, all the way down, all the way to the cross. And he goes ahead and he says here, he is despised and rejected of men. Was he? He did no harm. He did no sin. Yet the Bible says he was despised and rejected of man. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded, look at that now, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Did you know, friend of mine, when the Son of God was taken and beaten, and when he stood on that cross and they put those nails in his hands and his feet, and he was there hung between heaven and earth, there he was dying, there he was bruised from head to bottom, blood running out everywhere. There he was. The Bible says he did it for you and me. The Bible, you see, the prophets didn't understand that. Isaiah was saying, hey, if I preach that, they don't even know what I'm talking about. Isaiah didn't even know what he was talking about. He was talking about, friend of mine, the mystery of the church. How that Jesus Christ would come and die for the church and die for the sins of men and women. Thank God for it. The Bible says, by his stripes ye are healed. I want you to know something. When Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died, brother, and he hung there between heaven and earth, let me tell you, he gave to me his righteousness. Amen. And I gave to him my sin. That's what the Bible teaches. And today I stand before God perfect because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says without the blood, there's no remission of sin. Brother, I want you to know it's the blood, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And the description is given right here. We want to go on quickly. We want to get to more. We find out about the kingdom age in Isaiah chapter number 11. In Isaiah chapter number 11, it tells us about the kingdom age. Verse number 6, look at it. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Can you imagine a wolf lying down with a lamb? Then he goes ahead and says, and the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones. They shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. A lion doesn't eat straw. A lion goes after its prey, doesn't it? But during the kingdom age, friend of mine, the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says the lion's going to eat straw. There's not going to be any death in the kingdom age. And you can go on in verse number 6. And it says in verse number 8, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, which is the snake den. My friend, let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ comes, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I've got a lot more that I want to talk to you about, but we better move on. In the book of Zechariah, verse number 3 and verse number 6, Zechariah is the book that's next to the last book of the Old Testament. You can look at it if you will. In Zechariah, the Bible tells us in the book of Zechariah, chapter number 13, chapter 13 and verse, let's see here, verse number 6, look at it, chapter 13, verse number 6, and when Jesus Christ comes, he's coming back. Believe it or not, he's coming back. I'm taking off where Brother Perkins left off this morning. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is coming back. And when he comes back, the book of Zechariah, verse number 6 says here, and one shall say unto him, what are the wounds in thy hand? This is given by an Old Testament prophet. Who's he talking about? Who's got wounds in their hand? The Son of the living God. Jesus Christ, he's talking about right here. He said, it's going to say, who's got wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. I want you to know he was despised, he was rejected, and the Old Testament proves it out over and over. Every single prophecy, listen, every book in the Bible except Esther has Jesus Christ written on it. And Esther, friend of mine, is talking about the remnant that was saved, the Jewish remnant that God saved through Esther. When Haman built the gallows for Mordecai, you remember the story. And then Esther came and intervened, and the Bible says that the gallows that he built for Haman, he ended up hanging himself. Mordecai was the one that got hung. But every book of the Bible tells you about Jesus Christ. Every prophecy in the Bible has been fulfilled. Now then, what's to come? I want you to know the thing to come is the rapture. Here's what you've got. You've got right now the church age. The church age was a mystery in the Old Testament. The Bible says that the church age lasts. It'll last, oh, it looks like it's been here now, 2,000 years. I want you to know something, time's about up. Amen. You stop and think about it. The God does things in seven, does he not? Miss Johnson, how many keys, where's she at? Where is she? How many keys are on that piano? Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la. Seven. Eight is a new octave. Is that right? There's seven basic colors. To make the different colors, you have to mix them up. God does things in sevens. You know how long this earth has been here? It's been here 6,000 years. We got 1,000 years of the millennial reign, which makes seven. That means, brother, that seven, and then you've got a new beginning, a new heaven, and a new earth. Am I right? Are you with me? Everybody with me? You got a new heaven. So we're right there. In fact, the Bible talks about the fig tree. Know ye not that this generation shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. Israel was the fig tree. It was made a nation in 1948, friend of mine, and the Jewish generation is up. You take 7 years of the tribulation period, and you take the 4 or 5 years mistake in the Bible, you got the Jewish generation up. That means Jesus could come at any time. He said, I will come again. He never lied. Not one time did he lie. He said, I will come again. And if I come, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said he was coming again. Now, friend of mine, I want you to see there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Amen. And I want you to see something. He said, I'm coming again. Here's what we have. We are now waiting as a church for the tribulation period. My goodness sakes, I hadn't even got through the introduction. Boy, you folks had said, preach to me, preach to me, preacher, preach. Okay, hang on. We've got to get going, don't we? Listen, brother, we've got right now, we're waiting for the tribulation period. The Bible says, and we won't go to it, but in the book of 1 Thessalonians, it talks about Jesus coming above the earth. He's going to come above the earth, and when he does, the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall be raised. He's coming above the earth, and when he comes above the earth, the Bible says, brother, we're going to leave this old world. We're going to leave here, and we're going to leave in a moment, in a split second. Hey, listen, I believe the word of God. Then the Bible says when that takes place, there's going to be the tribulation period, which is approximately 7 years, and we're going to have the great tribulation at the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, and then he's coming back to this earth, and he's going to bring us with him. Now, let me show you something. Brother, listen, a person that dies, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I want you to know something. If I die, if you find out, if you read the obituary that Scotty's dead, you don't have to worry. You're looking at me right now. I want you to know something. I'm a Trinity. And brother, if I were to die right now, I would be with the Lord according to the word of God. Now, let's stop and think about it. The title of the message that I have, I'm just now getting ready to get to the title. I'm titling the message on the next day, the next day. You know something, when I was a kid, my dad told me about the Great Depression. He told me when the stock market crashed. Any of you here remember that? Are you been told? You remember about it, brother? My dad used to tell me, he said, Scotty, he said, son, he said, when the stock market crashed, he said, everything went broke. He said, millionaires all at once were broke overnight. He said the next day they jumped out of windows, out of high-story buildings, committing suicide. He said they shot themselves. He said the depression went. He said I was embarrassed even to go out and ask for a girl for a date because I had to use baling wire to tie up my shoes. He said we had nothing. You remember that? You remember all the suicides and all the different things that people did the next day? It happened right after the... Did you know there's a lot of things that's happened the next day? Have you stopped and you thought, here's another one. When Germany surrendered, you know what happened the next day? When the word got out that Germany had surrendered in World War II, there was dancing in the street. They were partying. They were having a ball. Everybody, oh, all over the world, they were glad that the war was over, and they were having a ball. Everyone was having a ball the next day. But also, when you stop and think about Japan in 1948, or for 1945, I think it was August the 6th, 1945. We think about the bombers as they went over Japan and they hit Hiroshima or Hiroshima, however you want to call it. We used to call it Hiroshima when I was a kid. They call it something else now. But anyway, they went over and they dropped that atom bomb. When they dropped that atom bomb, 92,000 people were killed. Imagine what happened the next day. 3 days later, on August the 9th, a bomber went over and hit Nagasaki. 40,000 people were killed. Imagine what happened the next day. Can you imagine? Imagine what went on. I can imagine it. I can think about it. I can think about all that history tells us about what happened the next day. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. When Jesus Christ comes above this earth, friend of mine, I want you to know we're going out of here. And when we go out of here, there's things that's going to happen the next day. You say, Brother Scotty, tell me some of them. I'm going to give them to you quickly because we don't have much time. Number one, the grave of every saved person will be empty. Oh, praise God. I go to the cemetery once in a while. I go there, Walter. There's my brother. I go there and I stand there and I look at that little plate that says Clarence W. Drake and Thelma Lou Drake and Barry Scott Drake, my young brother, killed in an accident. And I look at that, and every now and then I go just to look at that plate and I think to myself, praise God, they're not there. You see, I'm a Trinity. I have a body, soul, and spirit. You're looking at me, but you don't see Scotty. You know what you see? You see the place where I live. The real Scotty is inside. The real Scotty one day is going to leave this place. You're just looking at the house that I live in. That's what I see. When I look at you, I don't see the real you. All I see is the house that you live in. We're made out of a Trinity. And the Bible says, brother, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're going to be with him. Oh, we're going to go to those graveyards, friend of mine. And I want you to know the Bible says he's coming back. And when he comes back to this earth, he's coming back. And he's going to bring my mom, my dad, my brother. He's going to bring them all with him. They're going to re-enter their bodies. And they're coming up with a brand new body. And every grave is going to be empty. Boy, listen, the book of 1 Thessalonians, old Paul tells the church of Thessalonica, hey, he said, comfort one another with these words. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is coming back, and there will be no grave. Listen, there will be, hey, can't you imagine going to the funeral home? Can't you imagine a lost man standing there looking at a dead body that's been saved, and all at once, man, alive, the Lord come up hither, and that we enter that body, and a brand new body comes up out of that cave. Brother, that'll make anybody go stir crazy, won't it? I want you to know, you talk about spooky, that is spooky, but it's going to happen. I mean, brother, every one of them. But let's go on quickly, friend of mine. The earthly homes of our saved are going to be empty. When you ride by that house, if it's still standing during the tribulation period, and when Jesus comes back and he calls me out, when you ride by there and I'm not there, brother, it could be because Jesus has come. You better be sure you're saved. You don't want to go by my house and me gone. You want to be sure that you go with me. The Bible says the first one, the graves, the Bible says, brother, he's coming and he's going to re-enter the bodies. And they go. You say, what about those people been cremated? Hey, God made your body. Don't you think he can make you a new body? What about those people that are at the bottom of the ocean that drown? Don't you think he's able to go down there and do a job? By the way, the embalming they do today only lasts about 70 years anyway. It turns to dust after about 70 years. It's not like the Egyptians. They don't even know to this day how the Egyptians embalmed those people. Listen, God's going to give us a new body. Man, our earthly homes are going to be empty. I want you to know, if my home is standing, don't you worry about me. You may see the mail stacked up. You may see newspapers scattered all over the yard. But friend of mine, I'm leaving out of here when Jesus calls me out. But thirdly, the biggest family reunion in history is going to take place. I like a family reunion. I every now and then, Brother Matt, I go to Kentucky. I've still got some cousins. I've still got a sister up there. And I'll go and we'll all try to get together and we'll have a reunion. It'll be a great time. All my uncles and aunts now are gone. They're all in heaven. My grandpas and my grandmas, they're there already. Those graveyards up there that's got their name on it, all they've got is just an old house there. It's decaying, but they're up there in glory. Oh, friend of mine, we're going to have a reunion when we get to heaven. It's going to be a great reunion. My, not only all of my family's going to be there, but praise God, I'm going to see my ma again. I'm going to be able to look at my dad, and I'm going to be able to say, Dad, I'm sorry. Hey, Aaron, you'll look at me and say, Dad, I'm sorry I gave you all that gray hair. Yeah. Hey, listen, we're going to have a reunion up there that you can't imagine. Can you imagine a reunion with Moses and Elijah and all these fellows? And then all of our family, grandmas and grandpas and cousins and uncles and aunts. Hey, what a reunion day it's going to be when we get to heaven. But I want you to know it's going to be the biggest manhunt that'll ever begin. Whenever we go out of here, there's going to be a manhunt. I think about the Anglin brothers that escaped from Alcatraz. They lived in Ruskin, Florida. I knew their uncle. I talked to him one day. I said, listen, I said, has the parents or anybody ever heard from one of them? They believe one of them might have got away. They found some stuff on the shore that proves that maybe one of them got out of Alcatraz and escaped. And the uncle looked at me and said, why, no, of course not. He said, every time there's any kind of a hint that one of them might be alive, the FBI is immediately on to it. They would never call their house. A manhunt. Think of bin Laden. Did you know that they got this carrier's name some 8 or 10 years ago, and they watched that carrier and watched him, and they watched him at the end of the Bush era all the way through the Obama era, and then all at once they found this carrier going to the same place over by the Air Force Air Base or the military base in Pakistan, and when they decided that's where he is. It took them all those years, but friend of mine, all at once those SEALs went in and they shot him, and guess what? The minute he lost his breath, he found out that he wasn't going to have 70 virgins. I mean, when he drew his last breath, brother, he felt the oven like he'd never felt it before. I want you to know he felt heat. Hell is hot. I mean, he found out that he's got friends down there. He's got a friend by the name of Hitler. He's got a friend by the name of Joseph Stalin. He got a friend by the name of Mussolini. Hey, people tell me, well, I'm going to have a lot of company down there. I don't believe I want that kind of company. Oh, what a manhunt it's going to be. But not only that, it's going to be the greatest catastrophe that'll ever happen. You're going to see people all at once, they go out of their cars. The cars is going to go haywire. They're going to go up into buildings. You're going to see the semi-trucks that go up and down the road. Many of them saved. They're going to be caught out, and the truck's going to keep going and finally ended up in all kinds of a trash pile. You're going to see the airplane pilots that are saved. All at once, they're out, and the airplane all at once begins to crash. You're going to see the trains as they run off of the railroad track. What a catastrophe is going to take place. I don't want to be part of that. Jesus said, ye come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. He said, I will come again. He's coming. He's coming. Believe me, he's coming. Oh, but then the next day, the Holy Spirit's going to be gone. Today, he's here. He's here. Did you know you can go into the room of a person that's dying? And I've done this several times. And as long as they're breathing, you can feel their presence. But the minute they stop, you feel like you're all alone. That's a person's soul. I want you to know something, friend of mine. One day, the Holy Spirit won't be here. I mean, we'll come, and there'll be no church service. There'll be no preaching. There'll be no praying. There'll be no singing. You'll not hear, there is a fountain filled with blood. You'll not hear, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You'll not hear, wherever he leads, I'll go. You'll not hear it. He'll be gone. The Holy Spirit is gone. And there will be no salvation. You won't be saved. You say, Brother Scotty, people are going to be saved in the tribulation period? Yeah, people that have never heard the Word of God. But once you've heard the Word of God, and the Lord comes and takes us out of here, your chances are over. I mean, it'll be over. I want to close with the story. I've already gone over time a little bit. Is it all right, Brother Matt? Pastor isn't here. Several years ago, I had someone call my house. It's when we was at Good Shepherd, Aaron. Lived on Beechwood. I'll never forget it. They called my house and they said, listen, our boy just got killed in Vietnam. Would you take care of the funeral? I said, yes, I would. They said, we don't have a preacher, we don't have a church. And your name was given to us. I had the funeral. After the funeral, we went to the house to have something to eat. I'll never forget it. I stood around. There were several people all around in the house. And I'll never forget the mother and the fiance of the boy killed in Vietnam. They came up to me. And both of them had tears in their eyes. And the fiance handed me a letter. And she said, would you read this? And I said, yes, I would. She said, this is the last letter that he ever wrote. I took the letter and I opened it up. And as God is my helper, it said, this war over here is hell. I can't wait. I hope and pray that I'll get home. And if I get home, we have never gone to church, but the first thing we're going to do is go to church. So help me God. That was the gist of the letter. I read it and I looked at it. And I'll never forget the girl. She looked at me and she said, preacher, where is he now? I was in shock. I didn't know what to say. It took me a few minutes. And finally I said, I don't know. It could have been that he accepted Christ before he was killed. And if he did, he's in heaven. Folks, let me tell you something. The next day, after the Lord comes, and he says, I could come any moment, he said, watch and be ready. He could come today. Every scripture, every prophecy in this book has been fulfilled. Hundreds and hundreds of prophecies in this Old Testament has been fulfilled to the fullest. The question comes now is, where are you going to be the next day? Miss Johnson, our organ player, Miss Ruth, you come, please. We're going to have an invitation.